Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today, Tiki and Tierney? Got a good one. A lot of juicy stories floating around. Let's get into it inside of our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on this Wednesday across the country. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, 1-855-212-4227. Sirius XM 206, simulcast here on CBS Sports Network. We've got a lot of football. And, Teak, the last, I would say, 17, 18 minutes, I've been banging away on Twitter, right?
Yep.
Trying, and thank God they're feeling this, they're not resisting this, trying to get the message across to Knicks fans, you do not give up anything to trade for Jimmy Butler.
Whoa.
He is going to be dealt in the next couple of days. We'll certainly get to that. That hit the waiver, or the wire, I should say, 15, 20 minutes ago. Woj with a little mini bomb.
Why don't you want him?
Because I think that every team that's rebuilding, and this is something that's really escaped the Knicks, and this is why they've just continued to compound, and this is why they've been bad basically for 20 years except for one or two outlying seasons, because you've got to now create a dynamic where if you want to play for the Knicks, you come in free agency, period. That's it.
Yeah.
This is how we're rolling. And I just tweeted this.
But how long is that going to take?
Not if Kevin Knox is the star he looked like in the summer league.
Okay.
Not if KP comes back healthy. Mm-hmm. You have at least a max next summer. A lot of whispers. Kyrie Irving wants to come here. What the Knicks and other teams, by the way, on that list. And I think it's the Nets that Wojo put. And the Clippers, those three teams, right? So it's not just about the Knicks, but what I was tweeting about was about the Knicks. And I think that if you're a team right now and you really want Jimmy Butler, who just turned 29 the other day, really good two-way player.
Of course.
Not great, though.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? He's really good, but he's not great.
But why would that be bad for the Knicks?
Because it messes up your finances here. What you've got to do is you've got to, and this is tricky.
I hear you.
You've got to force in some way, say, listen, Jimmy, free agency as we just established, but you want out? You've got to force them to take 50 cents on the dollar. You've got to make the T-Wolves' life so miserable right now that they'll take scraps. And, you know, whether it's the Knicks scraps or the Clippers scraps or the Nets scraps or a team that emerges out of nowhere.
So don't give up some great asset or a draft pick or something. Yeah,
I wouldn't. There's no way I would. So we'll keep an eye on that. And we'll do a lot of hoops, actually. You know, most shows these days are football, obviously. Mm-hmm. But at 4 Eastern, so in about 55 minutes from now, Shaq, with a very interesting take as we get ready for the opening of camp here, believe it or not, on the Los Angeles legacy of LeBron James.
He hasn't even started yet. He's only worn the shorts. He hasn't even worn the uniform yet. Talking about his legacy?
Hey, listen, you know how it is. Legacies are important these days.
That's what happens when you're LeBron and you're the king, right?
That's right. That's right. People talk. So people are talking about this new book as well from Ian O'Connor. Ian's going to be with us here today at about 5:20 from ESPN, author of the book Belichick. Now, a few things have emerged here. I know you've read the excerpts and you've read what I've read. What's the most interesting? There's probably about five or six things that I know we'll get to.
Yeah,
what jumps out first to you?
The headline is obviously about him, shaped Bill Belichick to become the greatest coach of all time. That's the story. But there's obviously little parts about the book that catch our attention. And the obvious one is about Tom Brady. Now, we've heard this over and over and over again over the last maybe 2 years or so, that there's a rift developing within, you know, the Patriot way, that Tom Brady's tired of being under this thumb of Bill Belichick, and that if he could get away from this, he would. I mean, that's the one that jumps out to me. What makes this one more interesting, though, than the other ones that I've heard is that Ian, I've known Ian forever, going back to my days with the Giants when he was covering us a little bit, is that he talked to so many people. So this isn't like this is one anonymous source says Tom Brady can't stand his head coach. It's not that. It's a narrative over, you know, multiple sources.
I think over 300.
He called
350 or so, or 500, I think he called, and 350 actually weighed
in. We'll ask him whatever the number was, but he talked to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It wasn't one or two or 20. Mm-hmm. It was hundreds, which makes this compelling. But the question is, and this is my takeaway, does that even matter? Right? Does it matter that Tom Brady doesn't like his head coach? Not doesn't like, or just has gotten tired of his head coach. I think he likes him. Mm-hmm. I think they have a professional relationship that's worked for both of them and elevated them both to GOAT status. So it doesn't matter if he likes him or not, but is he tired of it? And if he is, does it even matter? Mm-hmm. Is Tom Brady going to change? Or is Bill Belichick going to change? Or is he going to say, I got to get out of here for my last... Now he wants to say four more years.
Yeah,
I'm going to get out of here for my last 4 years and go somewhere. Of course not.
No.
So, I mean...
Staying put.
It's great, but I don't know if it matters. That's my takeaway from a lot of this.
That's a very fair deduction. I didn't think of that immediately, but as you say that, because I kind of gravitated to other things, certainly that will weave in here, but I think that's an outstanding take there. It doesn't matter. He is week three, is he going to be under center?
Yes.
He's playing quarterback.
Yes.
Now, if it's March and the book or... You know, late February, March, even into April, and OTAs, if the book came out then, and he wasn't at OTAs, the only starting quarterback who was not there, by the way, then maybe it's a little different, because then maybe Tom Brady, at that point, in real time, was still, we could at least conjure up this possibility, hey, maybe he's in the reevaluation stage, and maybe there's this little tiny hope, or not hope, but this little
belief.
Well, hope for the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins. Yeah. Hope, sure.
Hey, well, a lot of other people too.
That's true.
A lot of the AFC.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Maybe there's a little leeway for this. You know, the door's slightly ajar for a divorce here, but he's going nowhere. Brady's going nowhere. What I find interesting, I almost take it away from Brady and Belichick for a moment, and I kind of push this thing down the road to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And what I take away from it is that I just don't think, for a couple of reasons, I don't think we'll ever, ever have another quarterback head coach dynamic like we have now, for two reasons.
Like this one.
Like this one. Number one, got to remember, and this has been a big advantage to the Belichick-Tom Brady relationship, for roughly... 80-ish, maybe 85%, social media was non-existent.
That's a great point.
I mean, it's paramount to keeping things in-house.
You're right. Any criticism, any discontent.
It's not magnified. It's not poked and prodded on the radio every day.
You don't even know about it unless you're there. And in fact, if this was a decade ago, 12 years ago, because I'm going back to when I was playing.
Yep.
If this was happening, this exact scenario was happening 12 years ago, Ian's probably not writing the book, right? We're not talking about this. You're not even investigating it.
No.
It's not a blip on the radar screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right in that regard. We're never going to see this type of relationship where everything is insular. Bill Belichick is old school, man. Mm-hmm. You can forget how long he's been coaching.
But so is Brady compared to the modern athlete.
True, but I mean like legit old school. I mean, he's been coaching since the 70s. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like he's that guy who says, when I say don't say anything, you don't say anything. And if you don't adhere to it, guess what? You're playing somewhere else.
Yep.
And it's been that way for as long as we can remember. It's why they can take risk on guys like the Josh Gordon trade. Why can they take a risk? Because they have the determination based on this trade, the way it's structured. If they don't think he can play, they get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They get a draft pick back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's one of those things that – It's old school how they operate, but it works, man.
And it does.
And I don't know if it'll work with this new generation, though, because coaches feel like they have to answer. You know what I mean? They feel like they have to talk.
That's where I was going to go. Listen, now I need to see a little bit more Josh Allen's personality.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Rosen, we've had him all on the show, but Rosen, you know, while he's been pretty benign on social media since he entered the NFL, since he was drafted, you know, he's a smart guy, very smart. He's going to express himself. And as he gets, a bigger stage, eventually starting, he'll have more questions. He'll have a chance to expound. And when you expound, intelligence and different thoughts is going to shine through. He's going to be an interesting guy.
Yeah, sooner rather than later, I think.
No question. Darnold seems like an old soul in a great way. All about football, kind of a throwback. I get the sense from Allen, too, that he's similar, not skill set, just – personality. Yeah. Like, I don't know that Josh Allen needs to be clubbing or doing this and doing or be seen or be. I think he's a football player. Yeah. Not that you can't be both. No. I shouldn't. I'm not implying that at all.
Yeah. And the only question with him is how good of a football player can he become?
How good
and
will
some
he
of
be?
That is on him.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately for him, a lot more of it is on the team that's surrounding him.
But that's often the case.
I agree.
A lot of times quarterbacks get, and not just Carr, the example with the Texans from years ago, there are so many quarterbacks, even ones that became good, mm-hmm. where if they were in a different system to start, they may have been great.
You're right.
I mean, so, and the other part is that I really believe that the modern athlete would so strongly resent the marginalization that Bill Belichick has crafted of Tom Brady. I mean, for what Tom Brady's accomplished, we could say he's a team guy, he's team-oriented, he's egoless, he's a human being.
Takes pay cuts.
He takes pay cuts.
Everything you need.
Team
need to
guy.
Sign that guy. Take a pay cut.
Eventually, once in a while, you want to hear your head coach, you know, throw, you know, praise and historical props and wax poetic. Yeah. About what you've done.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know that he doesn't do that.
Well, he doesn't do it publicly.
Agreed. We don't, my point, that's exactly right. We don't know that he doesn't do this in private.
Yeah, do you think he does, by the way? I could see it being like, Tom, listen, you know.
You know what? I love
working with you, Tom. Keep going. Something like that.
Yeah, but that's his way of doing it, though, right?
Yeah. That's like the affection that. You know, some kids, sadly, you know, always hope to get from their parent, and they don't get it. And then when the parent throws them, like, one verbal bone, it means the world to them. Not to make it, you know, create an analogy between overlooked child and quarterback. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when you just don't get many compliments, I think a marital relationship or boyfriend-girlfriend dynamic's better than the child example. When somebody finally does say something, it means something. It really means something. So even if it's in an understated way between themselves, maybe it does resonate more with Tom than we think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, this is a really – and how about the stuff about the Giants, your former team, your team, about he was basically a slob. So you called him a slob. Did you see McAdoo on the sidelines last year? McAdoo with his suit. I mean, if the guy wore a 42 regular, the guy was wearing a 54 long the day he was introduced at his press conference. Then he comes out with the Pat Riley hair the next year at Shades.
Yeah.
They got the appearance of Belichick.
He could just never
– I know it's different people.
He could just never figure it out. He couldn't figure
it out. No, he couldn't. He couldn't. You know, but who's there longer is, I think, the question.
Belichick. Actually, I think it coincides.
See, I don't think that at all.
I do.
I do. Do you think they just walk off the field together?
Well, do you think that there's an ego play between them?
Like who stands, who's the last standing?
Yeah. Do you think that that dynamic exists where it's like, oh, I'm going to be here longer than you?
Coach.
I'm going to be here long. I don't see it that way. I think while they may be tired of each other in a sense.
Yeah.
They also recognize that without the other, they would not nearly be.
Well, one of them recognizes that. Brady recognizes that. That's why he's still around. I don't know if Belichick drafted Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Didn't want to trade him.
Yeah, and reportedly, according to Ian, that's a big part of the rift.
That's what I'm saying. To answer your question, you asked me, do I think that there's a little, you know, agenda inside, even if they don't verbalize it and communicate it to us, that there is this intense internal drive for one to outlast the other? I do. But I think it's more on Brady's part because the signs were there. His head coach was already trying to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So he was already trying to get rid of him.
So, well, preparing for.
Well, laying the foundations almost as bad, equal to making the move.
But I would say Tom is overly sensitive if that bothers him to the extent that it seemingly bothered him.
Yeah.
And it's different for quarterbacks, and especially this particular quarterback.
And it should be different. He's earned that different stuff.
Everybody gets replaced. Right, and you're just irresponsible as a team and as an organization, as a head coach, if you're not trying to find that next guy.
But he was still great, and he still is.
Dude, he won the MVP.
That's why I think it bothered him.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I hear you.
Like Joe Montana at the end, you know, even though he went to Kansas City, made the playoffs, Joe was beginning to, you can see deterioration.
Yeah.
You know, Elway won the two championships late. Remember, got hit, he flipped in the air.
Yeah, and the spinner.
TD really helped bring him that for sure. Elway was a little bit more along for the ride than he was leading the truck like he did early. without the championships. Elway, you can see the attrition. And then it would be a natural understanding, like, if they're honest with themselves as they self-assess and then look in the mirror, I'm just not the same guy. Mm-hmm. If Brady looks in the mirror now, number one, he doesn't even look different. No. So the reflection staring back at him is the same as is his skill set.
He doesn't believe that, though. He doesn't believe that he's taking steps back. Brady.
I don't believe he's taking steps back.
I know. But Bill Belichick did.
But it doesn't mean that Bill was right. I mean, look at, he's still playing. Look at Brady last year.
He's still great.
He really is. This is good stuff. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. This is going to be one of those unique things where, you know, I just don't, and I'd love to get some opinions on this. I just don't see how the way the modern athlete, I know it's a generalization, which is sometimes unfair, but for the most part, the modern athlete is wired. You know, look at Cam. And I know Cam's been with Rivera for a while.
Right.
But look at the way Cam Newton's wired. And then look at the way Tom Brady's wired. Or, you know, at least what they put out there for public consumption, how they interact or how they actually comport themselves on game day or whatever it is. I don't know how we have this relationship ever again in the history of the NFL. And as much as I want to see it go away because it's making my life miserable,
you'll miss it.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, you won't specifically.
Well, you know what I will resent from an athletic point of view? I will resent never really having had, and I'm sure Dolphin fans feel this way, and Bills fans as well, never really having had, although of the three, the Jets have had more, a real chance with any sort of frequency outside of the one outlier to look at that Patriots dynasty and really try to stare them down. Mm. Like, if you keep losing to the same team, like the Raptors with LeBron.
Yeah.
Hey, at least Raptor fans with the Cavs, at least they got there.
Yeah.
And they know, we just ain't beating this guy. We're not beating them no matter what.
It's never going to happen. Yeah, even when they're compromised and we're significantly better, we're not going to beat them.
But they got their answer.
Yeah.
We never got our answer because we never got enough to
you never got great.
Compete.
Yeah, you never got great. You never got to be the division champion and then beat them in the playoffs.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't come around much at all. Ian Eagle coming up hour number two. Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman in hour number one. Yankees, Red Sox, and a big star for David Price, and Aaron Judge is back, so we'll get to that. And Ian O'Connor is in the – do we have him in studio, Mike, or is on the phone? He's on the phone. Who is the author of the book that Tiki and I were discussing to start the show. 1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you use your hard-earned money to buy stuff, you want to get as much out of it as humanly possible. The professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts understand that kind of thinking. Not only do they have their famous O'Rewards program, but now it's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For a limited time, you can get double points on 250 items throughout the store. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll find double point offers on appearance items, oil specials, and much, much more. You can get what you want, save money, and get double points. You'd have to be crazy to turn down double points. And if you're not already an O'Rewards member, head to your nearby O'Reilly Auto Parts and sign up. Signing up is easy. Once you're a member, you'll start receiving rewards points for getting what you want and double points during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And don't forget, check out O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Sell. Ba-dee-da-dee-da. Ba-dee-da-dee-da. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. I'm just thinking of something. I got to tell you something in a second. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here.
Yeah, that's a good savings. He's not laughing through that.
No, absolutely not. Definitely not. Jeff Schwartz, by the way, is going to join us next segment, start setting the scene for week number three. I got a question for you about the Browns tomorrow night. More so about the Browns and the Jets. I'll roll it by you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We are being attacked by grasshoppers, my family.
What do you mean?
It's the craziest thing.
In Weehawken?
Yeah.
Really? Where
This started about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We noticed in the family room, which is off the porch, and we really loud grasshoppers, like frighteningly loud.
Yeah.
Like movie.
And you just think, man, there must be a lot of them right outside the door.
Yeah. Yeah, they're either getting ready to make their move and take over the world, or they're having sex. I honestly don't know what the hell's going on. It's just weird and loud, which was fine because at least it's somewhat, you know, offset by the TV and, you know, plates banging and kids running around. So now they went around the condo, and now they just have embedded themselves. We can't see them, but in the bushes right next to our window in our bedroom. Last night I woke up. It must have been 2 a.m. I woke up to my bag. I got my headphones, and they don't totally obscure all the noise. They're not totally
soundproof.
They're soundproof. They're crazy. I'm almost scared to go home.
Well, I mean, did you tell the management?
We did. They're like, there's nothing we can do. They said they sprayed. I mean, you know, it's not like they're roaches, or it's not like they're not in the apartment.
Yeah.
They're just taking
over. You don't think they're in
No,
the
I know
apartment.
They're not. Because you can... I know they're not. Right. They're not. They're not.
I mean, I don't know. Sitting under your bed like...
It is ridiculously loud. It's scary. I've never encountered anything like this in my life.
That's like when my grandmother lived on the Eastern Shore.
Uh-huh.
And you're just in the country, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, grasshoppers, too.
It's just everywhere.
Everything. But other
everything.
Stuff. Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, yeah. But that's different. That seems
yeah, you
more
expect it.
Peaceful,
of course,
tranquil. This feels like they're getting ready to rip the walls down. It's not normal. I don't know. All right, tomorrow night. So week 3 starts tomorrow night, right? Mm-hmm. Jets and the Browns. Jets are 1-1. Did not look very good against Miami. Miami might be one of these teams we really underrated. They got some fast guys. Defense is pretty interesting. Tannehill's back healthy, as we know. So maybe Miami's a little bit better than we thought. The Browns, we know where they've been and what they've been through. Now, I personally, because of the Browns' defense, I don't think that the Jets, unless there's colossal breakdowns on the part of Cleveland, special teams, et cetera.
Agreed.
I don't see the Jets hanging 30 or 20. I just don't see that kind of a game.
I would agree.
But
low scoring.
Yes. But if it became or becomes that kind of a game.
Mm-hmm. Jets, man.
And the Browns are embarrassed. Any chance Hugh Jackson gets fired? Embarrassed.
I don't think so.
Or do they give him a chance to go to Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think
before they.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think before. We like Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, he's functional.
Functional,
no doubt.
Really good player.
I don't know if he's really good. He's functional. Is pretty good.
At points, he can be good.
We went from functional to really quick.
He can because he's been good. There's been points where he's like, man, that guy made that's a good throw, right? But he can be good, but he's not the guy.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to fire Hugh Jackson, you have to see how well he prepared or didn't prepare your number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, who arguably could have been the starter coming into the season. And the one thing, if they get embarrassed and Tyrod Taylor plays terrible, then I go back and I start questioning, well, why, you know, Hugh, why did you have to, why were you so definitive that Baker Mayfield was not going to be your starting quarterback?
Maybe because John Dorsey said this is what we're doing. I mean, just something to think about.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if that's what he says, then...
He's your boss. You got to abide by the rules.
But I need to know that because watching them, it wasn't a discernible difference. I mean, there's an experience difference for sure.
Yep.
There's just the knowledge that Tyrod Taylor has that Baker Mayfield can't have. He just hasn't been there. You know
based
what I mean?
On the reps.
From the reps and the amount of years in the league. You know, Tyrod Taylor was set behind Joe Flacco when he learned football. He learned, you know, about, you know, championship winning football under Harbaugh. And then he goes to the Bills. He gets a chance to start. Some successes, some failures. Like, he's lived a lot of football in his career. Baker just, I mean, he won the Heisman, but that's college. Wide open offense. But still, I think there's value in learning on the fly. And for a guy who has the acumen, at least I think has the acumen that Baker Mayfield has, I would have liked to have seen it. Well, I would like to see it in real game action, not just in the preseason.
Training camp.
Which he looked pretty good in the preseason.
He did.
The only game.
The only word choice I would disagree with you on is, you know, when you say that there's no real discernible difference, I would say that there is a discernible difference from in favor of Baker throwing the intermediate route and that sideline, back shoulder,
probably
12, 15, 8. Like, yeah, Tyrod deep is good.
Yeah.
Think about how they tied the game up the other day in New Orleans.
No doubt.
He's even against the Jets years ago when he burned Revis a couple. Tyrod Taylor throws a tight spiral, and he throws it fast, and he throws
it
catchable.
You're right.
Nice loft.
Because it's nice and lofty.
Yeah.
You're right.
But the other stuff, you know, again, it's hard knocks. But and watching the preseason games as well, Baker, If he emerged out of camp as the starter, I don't know that I would have been able to say that he didn't deserve it.
Agreed.
I'm agreeing with you in the end result.
He throws those sideline passes much better.
Yeah.
It's almost Tyrod doesn't even want to do it sometimes.
I never see him throw a slant. It's a staple of every NFL offense. I never see him throw a 7-yard slant.
Yeah, you're right. You definitely don't see him throw a 16-yard comeback. You know what I mean?
No. You don't see that.
Especially if it's across the hash. So you're right. So in some ways, it's kind of limited, right? The offense is limited with Tyrod in there. But if they go out and they play well-ish, kind of like they have been, there's no like push to change. The Browns know that they're still rebuilding. They know that they're still learning how to win, because that's really the biggest thing. They've been in both of these games that they played in the first 2 weeks. They just have no idea how to win. It comes down to crunch time, and they're making mistakes, whether it's a play call or whether it was – out of position or letting something, missing kicks, whatever it may be. They just don't know how to win yet. And so you can put it on the head coach, but it's often not always on the head coach, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess when you say that they haven't learned how to win, literally, of course, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But if two kicks are made, they would have won.
I know.
So should we just say that their kickers have destroyed their season so far?
No, because...
Because they want everybody else that needed to do their job to win.
I don't know this answer. Okay, so I'm purely speculating.
All right.
The NFL they're always tight games. I mean, every now and then you'll see just
the Ravens Bills
gross blowout, 47-3. Yeah. Every now and then you'll see that.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how big a lead is in a game, or no matter how big the spread is, it always seems to come down to a possession or two.
Yep.
Right. In the National Football League.
Sure.
And so, when you get in those situations where it's the possession, doesn't matter if it's before the half or right before the end of the game, whatever it may be, what situationally are you prepared for it, right?
Okay.
And so it's like the Peyton Manning in a two-minute offense, or Aaron Rodgers, the better example, two-minute offense. I mean, it doesn't matter. If he has more than 30 seconds, he's scoring.
Something good's happening.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing with Tom Brady.
The ball will be made out of bounds.
Exactly.
They will make first downs.
It's situational. It's situational football.
Yep.
Right? It's like, all right, we're going to do this, 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 and this. We're going to get to this point. Our kicker's going to come in. He's going to kick the field, and you're going to nail, and we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just you practiced it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, I'm saying I don't know the answer.
Gotcha.
Do the Browns do that?
Practice situational stuff?
To the extent that it gets to the point where they know when Zane Gonzalez gets to, we're going to get you to this point, we're going to center the ball, and you're going to kick it, and you're going to make it. Have they practiced that enough where they don't even have to think about it? They know that it's going to happen. The answer is probably no, because there's so much turnover on that team. I talk about the Giants turnover.
Yeah.
The Browns had significant more turnover because they have new quarterbacks, you know what I mean? And young kickers, and a lot of guys, a lot of things that are just not the same.
New coordinators.
Have they practiced it? Exactly.
Yeah.
Todd Haley's not the same.
No.
As Hugh Jackson is the offensive coordinator.
No.
Period. In fact, they're not on the same page in week one. Josh Gordon get the start.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're not practicing situational football, you're not really practicing to win football games. And that's what it comes down to. And that's why the Pats, they always win in those situations.
Yes or no? You watch the Jets-Dolphins game. You've watched a lot of the Browns play twice.
Yep.
Don't you think the Browns should win tomorrow night at home?
No, I don't.
I actually think that they should win the game.
So and I told you this. Don't be discouraged by what you saw on Sunday from the New York Jets.
No, I'm not.
So they had a fumble, right?
Robbie Anderson's
fumble.
Yep, big game.
Short yardage. I mean, not short, but like... point blank range, basically, to go back in
right before the half when they
touchdown.
But
right?
That's practice. That's not being able to.
I understand it, but so they had a turnover, right? That led to a touchdown immediately.
Yeah.
Next series touchdown for the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Interception. The next series touchdown for the Dolphins. So those 14 points caused that the Jets basically gave. Hey, we're going to gift you 14 points.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that,
yeah, they got nothing.
The Jets' defense held them to 6 points, right?
Yeah.
And if you go just look, and you'll see it too, because when you do get ready to do tops, like I said yesterday, you'll look at the Jets, you'll look at the all 22, you say, man, Sam Donald, that was a great pass right there. Wow, that was great management of that situation.
I'm not worried about Sam.
That was fantastic.
What about
here's
offensive line against their pass rush?
True,
on the road.
But my and that's dissecting scheme and game planning, but when I look at that game the Jets and the Dolphins,
yeah.
I thought the Jets were the better team. Like if you take out those two plays that led to two touchdowns mm-hmm. for the Miami Dolphins, the Jets were the better team. And so when I sit and look at this matchup between the Jets and the Browns, I still think the Jets are the better team in this matchup. And so,
girl, hope you're right.
So
man.
So as long as there's not that mistake, right, and you learn from making those mistakes, Robbie Anderson, that was a fluke, man.
It was a fluke fumble.
It was like,
gotcha.
Look, you're going to the ground. Wrap it up, dude. Yeah. Right? Don't try to get an extra half an inch. It doesn't matter. Right? Wrap it up. Go to the ground. Keep possession. Same thing with Sam Darnold. Don't force that pass. You're going to make that mistake probably once a game.
Mm-hmm.
You got away with it in week one for pick six. You got away with it. You didn't get away with it in week two. Don't do it again. Okay. You know what I mean? All throw
right.
it away.
All
Chunk
right.
it down to the running back.
Get more confident as the day's going on. I'm worried about tomorrow night.
I'm just telling you, if you actually watch the Jets, they played really good this weekend.
But so the Browns.
Weekend. I know. I just think the Jets are better.
Sing it. Man, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Jeff Schwartz going to join us coming up next. Former NFL offensive lineman. Jay Berman. Jay, you ready to roll? I've been ready for 2.5-3 minutes. Jay Berman's update coming at you right now. Here's Jay. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So tweet us something interesting. Hit us up at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. And Tiki and I will circle back and answer it. So the more compelling, better chance it will stand out. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. Top of the hour, 15, 16 minutes from now, Shaq weighs in already on LeBron's L.A. legacy. And also, so we'll kind of split that up and do half of the segment on that, the other half on Jimmy Butler and where he might wind up. He wants out. Very similar to Carmelo, who was dealt last September. What the hell are you guys laughing about? Not even listening to me, this guy. September 25th, when Carmelo was dealt to the Thunder from the Knicks. So we'll do a little hoops coming up. Inbounds, out of bounds. Are you guys okay? Inbounds, out of bounds, too?
Yes,
okay?
I think we're good.
We're good?
We're good.
All right. We Irie. Yeah, I hadn't said that in a while. We Irie, man. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. We Irie. We always Irie. Jeff Schwartz is with us here, NFL offensive lineman. And Jeff, a smart guy. You hear him on the tube quite a bit. Does a lot of TV stuff. Played what, 6-7 years in the NFL, mm-hmm. Carolina, Kansas City, the Giants. Jeff, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
Oh, I'm glad to be here, talking a little football.
Yeah, man. It works, man.
Did we just say yeah, man, at the same time?
Yeah, we did.
It's
that Jamaican thing going on right now.
It was Jamaican.
Hey, Jeff, before we start, I got to say, Gamar Hatima Tova.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Jeff, how did he say it? Great. Scale of 1 to 10. You give him a 9?
That was really, it was better than I think some people said the temple today. So it worked out well, yeah.
Boy, teach.
I will not bring up the fact that you haven't eaten all day and you're studying film because you need to get ready.
Tiki Barbinowitz. You know what it is? You know. Listen, Tiki Barbinowitz.
Jeff, you know our producer. You met him when you came in before. He's Jewish. He had no idea.
He had no clue.
No clue. And I was asking him for advice. Wow. That's what we were laughing about because he has no clue. I'm like, what do I say to him? What do I say to Jeff? And he's like, he said, good jontif. And I'm like, yeah, but he's fasting. That's not.
What does good jontif mean? Like enjoy a meal?
Fasting, yes.
Yes, that means that's
two,
that.
About 2 hours left.
Two hours left.
I'll make it, though. I'm kind of past the point now.
Jeff, a guy like you, when the fasting is over, what do you dive into? How much do you eat?
So the key really is to kind of have two meals. Like you kind of have your, right after you're done fasting, so meal. So basically what I'll do is, I'll have caffeine right away because that's my biggest problem. Is I get a caffeine headache because I don't have caffeine all day. I'll have a diet pill like right away, and then I'll drink a bunch of water, and then I'll have a small meal, and then I'll have another huge meal like 30 minutes after that. Because I've learned over many fasts that if you eat too much early on, you sort of get sick. And really, I mean, traditionally, you're at synagogue. Yom Kippur ends, then you break the fast at the synagogue and you have a small snack or something to eat, right, to hold you over till you go to a break fast or you just go home and eat. So that's kind of the way I do it. I have something a little small now. I think my wife might be getting some bagels and lox. We've been without power came back yesterday, but it was out for a while since Saturday. So
where are
you, Jeff?
I'm in Charlotte.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't get, like, hit as bad as, obviously, the coast did for the hurricane. But we were without power since 7. We got 10 inches of rain. The wind wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it knocked, I think, 150 power poles down. So
we
were pretty fortunate, though, compared to, you know, the scenes out east when, you know, the entire interstate is underwater right now.
Yeah, well, blessings. Say, glad everything is safe for you guys down there.
Yeah, I was going to say, all things considered equal. I mean, it could have been a lot worse, so thank God. Jeff Schwartz, talk some football. Jeff, former offensive lineman, he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
And one of your last stops was with the New York Giants. I know you're studying film, and you do this a lot with the offensive linemen. You give great insights on this. As you watch them, and I've looked at them a little bit, and I know it's an entirely new group, well, except for Flowers, but he moved to a different side of the offensive line. What is plaguing them most, and how can they fix it? Or really, is it fixable?
Yeah, good question. I just did a piece for that play. With Dan Duggan on the Giants, really offensive line. So I did that yesterday. I was able to watch what's happening. And, you know, after the game, I wrote that I think, you know, the one variable that's always been the same with the Giants right now is Eli, right? He's been through all of this. And
yep.
I kind of wanted to put some of the blame on Eli. And I'm not sure I can do that. I mean, as you watch the game, there's simple things the offensive line is missing. And what happens with bad run games and bad pass protection, you know this.
Yep.
It's not just like, it's not just all five guys suck. It's that one guy screws up every different play. So one play to left tackle, one play to the right guard, one play to center. And you can never scheme anything up because you can't just say, okay, the right tackle is not very good. We'll just scheme things up to help him, and the rest of the four guys will be fine.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, you have Nate Solder just not blocking the defensive end on a pass protection.
Yeah.
You have the right guard or right tackle just not picking up a basic line game in a 2-minute drill. That's what Cowboys do. They've done it for years because they don't have a lot of guys that could win one-on-one. You have Will Hernandez, the rookie left guard, just missing the Will linebacker, and Eli, you know, he changed protection on a third down. He knew what was coming, and Will just doesn't block the Will linebacker. So you can't ever say, okay, we're going to help this one position because all five of them are having their screw-ups. And so eventually, hopefully, they're talented enough, they should have enough talent in that offensive line to really put it together, but it's hard to really do much on offense when a different guy screws up every play.
Yeah, they look like a mess right now, and hopefully they get it going because, you know, as a football fan, you want to see a chance. Odell get some balls downfield.
No, he can't throw it to him.
You can't even give Eli a couple of seconds. It's really unfortunate. So I want to ask you about this. So your brother is on Kansas City. Jeff Schwartz is with us. Your brother Mitch is on Kansas City. He was there last year with Alex Smith as the starter. And I know, because you're brothers and you both played football, that he was probably raving, you know, you get together for a meal, get together for a drink with the holidays, whatever. Hey, wait till you see this young buck Mahomes. What was he saying about Mahomes last year? And was he, did he know that he was this good, I guess is what I'm trying to ask. Did he realize it back then?
You know, we didn't talk much at practice about what Mahomes was doing. I just know that in general, he wasn't mentally ready yet. And, you know, all the tools were physically there. But just it's a lot of offense, Andy Reid's offense. And the thing I've been impressed with most is how quickly he's learned this offense and the little subtle details that he's doing during a game, whether looking off a safety or whether it's audible or changing this and that. He knows what he's doing. I think that was the biggest concern heading into that Week 17 game last year. I know out of that Week 17 game, my brother said he did better than he thought he would, at least in the line of scrimmage. We know that he's physically talented. I mean, that's never been in question.
Mm-hmm.
And it was how quickly was he going to grasp the offense? Because, you know, not only is he grasping it fast, he's getting the ball out fast. Like, he is throwing the ball like a guy who's been in this offense for years.
Yeah.
He's not holding the ball late. And one thing that I wanted to see different from the preseason, I should say, is, you know, he was leaving the pocket, in my opinion, too often in the preseason when he had time to step up. And he has not done that very much in the regular season. So, you know, I asked my brother a couple weeks ago, maybe after the first game, everyone's asking, like, the difference between, you know, Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes. I know I can give you my difference. And he said, besides Pat Mahomes being able to throw 60 yards on the run, the physical gifts that Mahomes has, and he's with the perfect coach. I love Andy Reid. They played there for a year.
Yep.
This is kind of what he always wanted at quarterback. And also offensively, they have so many interchangeable parts that there's so much they can do.
Yeah. I mean, we watch him. He's pretty amazing. I know you're doing some work with the Action Network, which is an app that I need to start doing this because BT and I do a six-pack of picks every weekend, and I keep getting destroyed. Mm-hmm. I know this can help me do it. ActionNetwork.com/app. I'm going to get this thing, BT.
Right,
and if I start beating you.
I'll take a few winners, too.
You know why. You know, Jeff, we only have about 30 seconds here, but I need to ask you this question because we've heard this cliche over and over and over and over again. The Dallas Cowboys have the best offensive line in football. Who actually has the best offensive line in football right now?
The Eagles.
Eagles. Wow.
The Cowboys have a little injury problems.
Yeah.
Not having Frederick there has been a big problem for them. Eagles have the best offensive line.
The Eagles. Wow. And the Steelers without DeCastro obviously isn't quite the same. The Titans.
And I think the Redskins have a really good offensive line. Mm.
What about Tennessee? What about Conklin? I know Conklin's banged up and Lawan as well. What about the Titans when they're healthy? Pretty good, right?
I've not been as high on them.
Wow.
Because they build in a lot of help for their tackles. I know this. Everyone Titans has been talking about this, but they've always done that. Now they have a new head coach, so I have to see it differently now. But
gotcha.
To me, like, if you're good, especially a tackle, like, you don't get help. That's just the name of the game.
I got you.
They're building a lot of help for their offensive line.
It's all about getting help. Hey, go get some help. Go get some food, Jeff Schwartz, in about two hours. Start munching away, man. Thank you very much,
all
Jeff.
Right. Take care, guys.
Be good, Jeff. Good chat with you.
All right, Jeff Schwartz.
Hey, Samter, for your friends that you'll talk to later today.
Yep, say it again.
Gamar Hatima Dova.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.